Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bay Gourmet guided tasting of the new American olive oil. I think this is the final program for Bay Gourmet for 2009, and there are some brochures out in the lobby about a tour to the wine country that's taking place in April. You might be interested in looking at that information. I'd like to thank you for being here. My name is Miriam Chawl, and I'm a member of Bay Gourmet member-led forum. And I want to take a moment to ask you, please, to turn off your cell phones and pagers. It's greatly appreciated. Tonight's guided tasting is going to be led by Fran Gage, but our moderator is actually Roberta Klugman. I'm sorry. And Roberta is a food and wine consultant who serves on the board of the California Olive Oil Council. As a specialty food and wine retailer, importer and distributor in the Bay Area during the 1980s and 90s, she participated actively and keenly observed what is now recognized as the American culinary renaissance. She has been talking about and selling olive oil for more than 25 years. While executive director of the American Institute of Wine and Food, she worked with the International Olive Oil Council, the Smithsonian, and the National Association for the Specialty Food Trade Association, developing programs for both the trade and consumers such as the ins and outs of eating out and cuisine and culture. I'd like to thank Roberta for her efforts organizing this program. She and her elves, who were here earlier this afternoon, really did a fabulous job. You've got wonderful samples at your places, and so thanks very much, Roberta. I also want to mention to you that Fran Gage's book, The New American Olive Oil, is being sold in the lobby. It will be available for sale after the program, and Fran has agreed to autograph your copies. So enjoy the program, and thanks again for being here. Roberta?
Thank you all so very much for being with us tonight, and I'd like to extend a special thanks to the Commonwealth Club of California and to Miriam on behalf of myself, the panelists, and the California Olive Oil Council for giving us this extraordinary opportunity. We're very honored to be here. Before we start, I just do want to point out a few things. You do have a gift bag which has information about the California Olive Oil Council and two of the producers that are with us tonight, as well as samples from those producers. You have a bottle of 2008 olive oil, which is one that we'll be tasting, a similar one, but then you also have the new oils that were just harvested by Joe, which will taste differently, and he'll talk a little bit more about those when we get to those. So I just wanted to let you know that. I'd also ask you to, and I think you were told this when you registered, is we didn't number the plastic tasting cups, so don't mix them up. They're numbered on the place map, but not on the individual ones. These are four distinctively different oils, and we want to make sure that you know which ones you're tasting. Also, when we get to the fourth oil, there's been a change of oils, and so the varieties are slightly different, and Joe will talk about what varieties are in there. We crossed out the ones that aren't. After the tasting, and while the guided portion, and while Fran is signing books, we do have another olive oil, which is going to be over there if you wanted to taste yet another one if you don't have palate fatigue, and also a very special treat from Fran. She has made her chocolate olive oil truffles from an orange-flavored olive oil, which you'll be able to taste one of her recipes in the book. So, again, thank you for being here. I want to just give you a brief very brief, condensed view of the California, what's happening with California extra virgin olive oil. It is absolutely booming these days. And this year's harvest is estimated to be nearly 1 million gallons, which is up in 1 year from 650,000 gallons and from the previous high of 500,000 gallons. So you can see it's growing very quickly, very rapidly. And the question is, well, why? And why now? What's happening? In large part, the recent rapid growth is due to the influx of super high-density farming and mechanical harvesting. This has been going on for about 10 years. The trees were first planted in hedgerows about 10 years ago and started to come online, I believe, in 2002, 2003. It was successful, and that has been followed with much more investment. Why? Because at that scale, there is the promise that this will become a profitable agricultural crop and commodity in California. I like to say it's not sustainable to go out of business. And so now with this scale of super high density, there is more interest from investors and also many smaller farmers are trading crops, less profitable crops, and planting olives. For instance, olive is replacing raisin grapes and tree fruits in the Central Valley and some other crops, which Joe can talk about. Also, I would point out that olives require less water than, let's say, almonds and wine grapes. So that's always a consideration in California. The one thing that's happening with super high density, which you will see, it is now taking up and represents 90% of the olive oil in California. Within the super high density category, the predominant olive is Arbequina. So you will start to see, and we'll be tasting some of that tonight, that this it will be a predominant flavor, but it will change where depending on where it was grown, where it was picked, if it was super high density or not. And it tastes differently than the Spanish Arbequina, where it comes from. As the industry grows and produces more quality extra virgin olive oil that also competes on cost, California will become a major player on the world stage. Right now, olives rank number 43 in California's top agricultural commodities and will continue to grow. And if it continues to grow at the pace it is currently going, it's likely it'll be in the top 10 within 5 years. And isn't that exciting? But I have to say, super high density is not the only reason we're seeing this wonderful boom in California. It's only part of the olive oil renaissance. In this modern day, let's say the last 20 years, there have been many boutique producers who have given us delicious, prized olive oil, but often at a higher cost and not readily available. The number of these artisan, smaller growers and producers such as Joe also have been increasing for several years. And each year, all the farmers take key learnings away about what's happening in our industry. It is changing. There is a learning curve. They're learning where to plant, what varieties, when to harvest, what mills to buy, or if I don't have a mill, where do I mill, how much water, when to water, how to blend, are all questions that are evaluated every year. And every year there are improvements and we have more wonderful olive oil available. As a result, there are now over 200 varieties of olive oils planted up and down the state of California, with myriad producers offering traditional blends and what I'm calling new world blends. We are fortunate here in the Bay Area because we have these old olives oils nearby. And since 1992, the California Olive Oil Council has promoted the growing of olives and productions of olive oil in California. The COOC, and I'd like to point out the executive director of the COOC is with us tonight, Patty Darrow, provides grower, producer, and consumer education and supports certified olive oil standards. This is very important. You'll see the seal here and the seal on your bag. This is a certification based on the Olive Oil Council's taste panel that is your guarantee that the olive oil in that bottle is California and is extra virgin and is of the current harvest. Tonight we are lucky, we are so lucky to have two of the leaders of our olive oil renaissance with us, and we will be tasting a total of 5 extra virgin olive oils. We'll see a range of varieties and also how olive oil changes over a year. We have oils from last year's harvest, which are on the shelves now as we're moving into the new harvest. And we'll get, with the Oleo Nuovos that we're tasting, a taste of what's going to be available in the next several months. Fran Gage is the author of The New American Olive Oil, and she'll be leading the tasting. Some of you may remember her acclaimed bakery, Patisserie Française, on 18th Street, is it? Yeah, in San Francisco. She closed the bakery after a fire in 1995, which coincided when she was training to be an olive oil taster. She now writes about food, including articles for local and national publication. In addition, she has written 6 books. Her latest book, which is why we're here tonight, focuses on American artisanal olive oil producers. It includes recipes, tips for choosing and storing extra virgin olive oil, understanding the basic types of olive oil, and even how to host an olive oil tasting. She is a member of the California Olive Oil Council's Taste Panel and the UC Extension Research Taste Panel. She is an expert taster. We're very fortunate to have her here. Joe Bozzano is the co-owner of Bozzano Olive Ranch in Stockton. He's a fourth-generation farmer from a farming family in the San Joaquin Valley of California. After 12 years of working in the family's produce business, you may know their organic cherries. Joe chose to study hotel management and accounting at the University of Nevada. He has a passion for cooking, and that drew him to the California Culinary Academy, and after graduating, he did cook at several restaurants. He was a chef at several restaurants from Monterey to Sonoma and Napa. 2006, he brought his culinary expertise back to the family business. And I'd have to say it's very important to have a blender and a miller who has a great palate. And with Joe and with his palate and his chef's background, he brings that to his blending. Blending is important to olive oil, and Joe will be talking about that. He is actively involved in all aspects of the business, from the tree to the table, and he is the miller for Bozzano Olive Ranch. Cordo, Bradley Whitlow, the president of Cordo, regrets that he was not able to be with us tonight. We do have samples in your bag, as well as we'll be tasting his oil. Cordo is the second largest producer of olive oil in the state of California, and is the one of the leaders and an early champion of super high density. This year, Brady estimates that they will produce about 250,000 gallons of extra virgin olive oil. So with that, I turn it over to Fran.
Thank you, Roberta. This is so exciting to see all these people in this room who are interested in California olive oil. It's just really great. I'm thinking, I came to this from baking, of course. I had a great opportunity to become part of the California Olive Oil Taste Panel, and I just, after 3 years of tasting lots and lots of olive oil, it suddenly occurred to me that I could probably write a book about this. So I did. And it might be interesting. Should we taste oil now, Roberta, or
We do? Yeah, I think because we only have about 45 minutes, which is, I shouldn't say only. We're fortunate that we have 45 minutes, but we do have 4 olive oils to taste. So maybe you could talk a little bit about how you taste, the difference, and why we're not tasting blind, and why you have blue glasses and we don't.
All right. I'll talk. First, everyone has these green sheets of paper in front of them. And this is something that I devised. When we taste olive oil for the California Olive Oil Council, we use a different sort of a format. When I taste oil for the UC research panel, there's yet another form. And in competitions like the Los Angeles International Oilville Competition, there's yet another system. So I sort of tried to pick and choose different things from all those other taste sheets to come up with some thoughts about how people can think about olive oil as they're tasting it. So you have one of these for each oil we're going to taste, so feel free to take notes and do whatever you want to do. The first oil is number one. Don't taste it yet, but you could pick it up and hold it in your hand and cover up the glass like this. Now, I have these really special glasses that no one else has. I don't know why. I mean, I could have used the plastic glasses tonight, too. But these are official taste panel glasses. And anytime you're in a competition or in any sort of a tasting situation, these glasses are used. Why? They're used so that we can't see the color of the oil. The color of the oil really has nothing to do with the taste. But if you see a really, really green oil, it might predispose you to think that this is going to be really bitter and pungent, which might not be the case at all. So this is to eliminate that problem with tasting oil. So we always taste in cobalt blue glasses. Now, this first oil that we're going to taste, I'll just talk a little bit about this first. This is the super high-density oil. And these trees are very curious. They're not like your vision of what you think olive trees might look like. They look more like grapevines. The first time I saw an orchard like this, I was pretty amazed. They're short, they're kind of stubby, they're really close together, they're often trellised, and they're packed onto the fields. They're generally about 624 per acre, trees that is, as opposed to maybe 120 olive trees planted the traditional way. And the most interesting thing about them is that they're harvested by machine. Harvesting olives is a tremendously labor-intensive effort, and that has a lot to do with why the olive oil is so expensive. But they can harvest these olives very quickly with two people, one person driving the harvester and another person driving a gondola a row over that's catching the olives. So it helps them really compete in the world market with lesser expensive oils that you find on grocery shelves. This variety that we're going to taste tonight is an Arbequina. It's a Spanish variety oil. And there are only three varieties right now that are planted in the super high-density system because these are hybrid trees. They're propagated naturally, and it takes a long time to do this. The people who do this sort of thing are working on more varieties now so that it will change the profile of the olive oil. But right now there are only three. There's Arbequina, Arbasana, both Spanish olives, and then a Koroniki, a Greek olive. And generally speaking, these are blends. Almost always the blends have more Arbequina in them. So we're going to taste this first oil. So just keep sloshing it around a little bit. What we're trying to do is warm the oil up and get the volatiles in the oil into the top part of the glass so you can smell them. There are three parts, really. Well, there are more than three parts about tasting oil. The first thing we're going to do is smell it. Don't do it yet, though. Our nasal passages have so much to do with our taste, more so than actually what goes on in your mouth. So what you smell really tells you a lot about it. It translates in. It sends messages to your brain about what things taste like. So first we're going to smell this, and I'm going to ask you to think, just write down an aroma intensity for you. You can circle one of these, delicate, medium, or robust, after we smell it. If it just jumps right out of the glass at you, that's probably a robust flavor. If you have a hard time detecting anything, you might think it's delicate. And you might also detect some taste or fruit aroma descriptors. This is your little cheat sheet down here where I have green olive fruit and ripe olive fruit. And if you can smell any of those sorts of things, just circle them. And we could do that now. So everybody, get it really close to your nose and take a really deep inhale. So what do you think? Just shout out things. Do people think this is maybe a delicate oil or a robust oil? Can you smell a lot of things? robust, okay. And can you pick out any fruit aromas? Does it smell like any of these things? Grass, green tea, grass, anything else? Tomato leaf? Just circle these things if you want to. Then you can take these things home and put them on your refrigerator so that when you bring olive oil home, you can compare it to what you've tasted. Green apple? Is there ripe olive fruit here, do you think? Does it smell rather buttery?
Buttery,
yeah. Maybe ripe banana? Not so much, okay. Okay, now we're going to taste it, and I'll show you how to taste. Don't do this yet. What we're going to do is taste it, and you take a little bit of olive oil into your mouth, and you slurp in air, and it's okay to make lots of noise, like tasting wine. And what you're trying to do is aerate the oil so it covers your whole mouth and all your taste buds. Then swallow and breathe out through your nose, again, to get that nasal part going to your taste. Then, after you swallow it, think about the bitterness and the pungency. All olive oil is fruity, and all olive oil is bitter and pungent to some extent. And that varies a lot depending on the variety of the oil, when it was harvested, how it was blended, various things. The bitterness you'll feel on the back of your tongue, and the pungency you'll feel in your throat. It's a peppery kind of a feeling. And curiously enough, there's some people who do some work in Philadelphia at an institute called the Monell Institute, and they have figured out that they have named a compound called oleocanthal, which is in olive oil and is also in ibuprofen. This is the anti-inflammatory part of olive oil. This is the stuff that's good for you, the polyphenols. So first, watch me first.
Isn't that... for extra virgin olive oil.
Yes, extra virgin. We're only talking about extra virgin olive oil here tonight. We could go on and talk about other oil, but you don't want to hear about that. We're just going to talk about extra virgin olive oil. So here's what to do. Watch me first. Okay, it's your turn now. It might, you know, often when I taste olive oil, I close my eyes just to sort of help me focus on what's in my mouth and what I'm sensing. What do people think? Can you add any more descriptors after putting this oil in your mouth? Just shout out things. It smells better than it tastes. Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Hey,
okay. Banana. Yeah. Buttery, absolutely. Do you think it's bitter? No, it's very low on the bitterness scale. What about pungency? A tiny bit, maybe. A little bit of feeling in your throat. Yeah. Now, I should say that this is last year's oil. This oil is a year old now. So it's when it was new, it probably had a little more pungency because as olive oil ages, it sort of its characteristics fade a little bit. It's just the way it is. It's not like wine. When you buy olive oil, use it. Don't put it down in your wine cellar thinking you're going to save it for special occasions. It's not what to do.
Fran, and isn't that even more so in with Arbequina that it's softer, faster? Is that a characteristic of that variety?
Yes, that's true. Even when it's a very new oil, it's generally speaking, it's not very bitter. It has some pungency. It's completely different from lots of other olive oils, and probably in the long run won't last as long because it doesn't have those polyphenols in it to help preserve it.
So I would say also maybe when you're going through this tasting, identify which parts of the olive oil you like, or which olive oils you like and why. If you like a softer olive oil, if you like a bitter one, you can recognize that when, you know, you go to the specialty food stores and we have myriad choices and you could say, oh, you know what? I found the Arbequina too soft, so I would like something, you know, calibrate your own palates to what you like and figure out what it is that you want to be buying and using, because there are so many options out there now.
Another thing I want to say is normally people don't sit around slurping olive oil. We use it in our kitchens. We cook with it. And an oil like this, I would call this pretty much a delicate oil, because and that's gauged on the amount of bitterness and pungency in the oil. All olive oil should be fruity, but some of it is more bitter and more pungent than other. If it's low on the bitterness and pungency scale, it's a delicate oil. These oils are really, you can use them for many things in the kitchen. You can make mayonnaise out of them. You can put them on tender, you can make dressings with tender salad greens. You can use them for fish, grilled fish, and a little oil like this is very nice, and it doesn't overpower the fish. There are lots of things you can do with oil like this. Now, the other thing you can do is take a sip of water, and you have some apples in front of you. Chew on an apple a little bit to help cleanse your palate. We don't use bread because it has its own sort of special taste, and then that kind of interferes when you're tasting the next oil. So the next oil I'm going to have, this is Joe's oil, and I'm going to have him talk a little bit about this oil so that before we taste it. But in the meantime, pick it up and start warming it up while he talks.
So, hi, I'm Joe. Thanks for having me here. This is our last, or 2009 oil. So it was harvested end of last year, put on the market in 2009. It's a combination of Frantoio, Lechino, and Pendolino. It's probably, now that we're getting towards the end of the year, the oil is probably getting softer. There should still be a good amount of grassy fruit going on in there. And I don't know, the pungency and bitterness are probably going to be a little more mellow now. So it'll be interesting. I tried this a couple days ago, and it's still tasting really good, but just definitely more mild than it was at the beginning of the year. So that's one thing that I would like to get across to everybody today. Olive oil does have a life. It's always going to be fresh, it's straight out of the mill, right when it's milled. Oils get milled. Our season is basically from the middle of October, sometimes through January. Typically the things that are picked earlier in the season, October, early November, are going to be the stronger oils. The riper you let the olives get, typically they will be softer and more buttery. So let's give this a try, and if anybody has any further questions about any of it, we can talk about it some more.
Let me just also say that these olives are traditionally grown in Tuscany. So, and it's curious, you know, if you go to Tuscany, there are only certain kind of olives, generally speaking, that they grow there. In California, people grow whatever they want to grow, and they mix it all together. It makes it very interesting, I think. So I forgot to talk about the last two things on the tasting guidelines, the complexity of the oil. And these sorts of things come into play when people are judging at competitions. Competitions are really sort of beauty contests, and it has more to do with whether people really like the oil. And if you have an oil that has lots of complexity, in other words, if you were able to circle lots of descriptors about it, that makes it really complex and makes it really interesting. Oftentimes, too, and I think Joe does this, people harvest olives at different stages and then blend them, and that's where, you know, the real expertise comes in. How much of each kind do you put together to make a blend that you like? The balance is also really important. Some olive oils can be overpoweringly bitter and pungent, so that the fruit characteristics really just get stripped out, and that's, generally speaking, that's not so great. It's nice if you still have a lot of fruit. So let's taste this oil. I'll first smell it, though. First smell it. What do you think?
More spicy.
Yes. Oh, that's. I'm so glad you said that, because Lechino is one of these olives that has it's a spiciness. It's almost a cinnamon characteristic to it, and you can really you can smell that in this oil still. Yeah. Anything else? Is it grassy? Yeah. It's undertones of grassy. Yeah. It's not real I wouldn't call this a real robust aroma, and it's because it's a year old. Although even when this oil came out, I really liked it when it came out because it was really versatile. I thought it was still pretty much a medium oil. It wasn't a real knock-your-socks-off olive oil. Which some Tuscans are, yeah.
And this was blended. So when I make my oils, typically, unless I'm doing a nuovo, which we'll talk about later here, but I do each variety separately. I'll crush, mill each variety separately, and then I will taste everything, decide how I'm going to blend them together. And the reason I do that is to, one, to put out the very best product I can, but also to try to keep the flavor profile as consistent as I can within the year and then year after year. Obviously, it's agriculture, so things are going to change depending on weather and, you know, basically depending on weather. But by blending, you have a little more control over trying to keep your flavor profile as consistent as humanly possible. So, for instance, let's talk about within the year. If the Frantoio is really strong, the Lechino is really strong, Frantoio is really strong, the Lechino is a little milder. As we're going throughout the year to keep that flavor profile up, I can start adjusting the blend, put a little more Frantoio in, to kind of compensate towards the end of the year as things are getting milder. And then year after year, you just have a better chance of trying to keep your oils as consistent as possible by blending them after the fact. That's so, not to say you can't make great oils from a field blend, but you're kind of more at the mercy of what happens in nature at that point.
So, Joe, does that mean you don't bottle all at once?
Sorry to use a business term, but we do just-in-time bottling. So I don't bottle typically unless I have an oil or unless I have orders. So what we'll do is we'll do a small amount of the blend. That way I don't commit too much to long-term storage so that if I do need to adjust it, I still have the raw materials to adjust it.
So that means that the oil is not on store shelves. It's stored temperaturally controlled and with the nitrogen cap and things? Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah. Well, our storage facility at our mill is temperature controlled. We keep it at 70 degrees year-round. Olive oil likes to be in the 60 to 70 degree range. And it doesn't like huge fluctuations in temperature. You don't want your oil in a place where it's going to get really hot and then cool down again and go back
like
and forth.
Like next to the stove.
Exactly.
Or on a ship.
Yeah. So we feel like right now, there certainly are retailers out there like the pasta shop that understand how to store olive oils properly. But in general, we're still trying to get that word out. So I feel more comfortable storing it as long as I can myself and then getting it to the retailer as fresh as humanly possible. And it also gives me control throughout the year if I need to make adjustments to the blend. But it's critical. Storing your olive oil properly, which is also, I don't know if we have, if you've seen olive oil in dark bottles, that's the reason that the industry is going away from light bottles, which quite frankly are better for marketing, but the darker bottles are much better for the actual olive oil itself and keeping the freshness. Light is a major enemy, heat's a major enemy, and then oxygen's a major enemy. So to your last question about the nitrogen cap, what we'll do in our storage vessels is we'll float a layer of nitrogen on the top. Nitrogen being heavier than oxygen, it will prevent that intermingling of oxygen with the oil. Although you need a little bit of oxygen exchange, especially when you're processing your olives to get those volatile compounds extracting. But that's getting a little... Yes?
What kind of mills?
Ours is... it's made by a company called Westphalia. They're out of Germany. It's a centrifuge mill, or actually centrifuge system with a hammer mill. And it's really... What we found, Westphalia had the latest and greatest state-of-the-art equipment, and that's why we decided to go with them. Some of you may be familiar with Pirelli, Alfa Laval, all great companies, but for us, Westphalia was the way to go. And that process is, in general, a better way of making olive oil than the old style of the big, you know, vertical presses. And it gets the olive from olive state to oil state much faster with less exchange, less opportunity for air contact, and just provides a fresher product in the long run. So that's why a lot of these oils, especially with the hammer mills tend to make stronger, bolder olives because of the way they're crushed up. So that's why you'll see a lot of California olive oils are really fresh, really kind of big and bold in their flavor profiles. And that's because that's the pretty much the exclusive method that we use to make olive oil here. And yeah.
Uh-huh. And they have a stone.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, and they use centrifuges. Right. They use centrifuges to extract their oil, but they do still have a stone mill that they use to crush. And stone mill crushed olives or oils that come from stone mills will have a softer flavor profile in general from olives that come from a hammer mill style. And I think if you've had McAvoy's oil, which is a beautiful oil, it's very big and bold. And so if they used a hammer mill, it would be even bigger and bolder. So I think, it's really a big oil to begin with. So I think by using that helps them by using that.
We will be doing question and answering as we go through when we finish the tasting. I'm just jumping in there every now and then for clarification purposes, like on nitrogen caps. So, okay, so where were we with the tasting part?
We gave this. We smelled this already, right? And it was.
We tasted it too.
Oh, we did. No,
yeah.
We didn't
we did.
Taste it yet.
No,
we just smelled.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I think people did.
People are jumping ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. My fault.
So what do you think of this? Is it different from the first one? A lot, yes. It's spicy. What else? What other sorts of things do you taste? Tropical, nutty, maybe a little nutty.
Peppery,
okay. Yeah, it's a little more pungent. You can still feel it in your throat, can't you? And just a little more bitter. Although this, I think, is still a good example of a medium oil. Oils like this are really versatile in the kitchen. You can do all sorts of things with them. You can, whenever you think extra virgin olive oil, this oil probably you could use with just about any recipe. In my book, I do suggest a style of oil for each recipe, a delicate oil, a medium oil, or a robust oil. Not brands so much, but I'm hoping that people will start to think about styles and how certain styles of oils go better with certain foods.
And if I can be as bold as to say, don't be afraid of your olive oil. A lot of people buy a bottle and think it's so special and they leave it on the shelf forever. It dies. Olive oil has a life, just like anything else. And the Toscana especially, the one we just tasted, I use that at home. I saute vegetables in it. Don't be afraid to heat it up. It's not the, when you talk about extra virgin olive oil and you talk about everybody's hearing about the health benefits of olive oil, if you're going to use that, the more polyphenols, more antioxidants that are in your oil to begin with, the more that will be left over when you cook. So, for example, if you didn't use an extra virgin and you use, say, a pure light olive oil, which
is refined oil, basically.
Yeah, we don't really need to talk about that, but there's no health benefits in there to begin with And so cooking with it, you're not getting the health benefit from it. So if you truly want to experience the health benefits that everybody's talking about with extra virgin olive oil, you need to use extra virgin olive oil. And there, wouldn't you say, there's no reason not to cook with it. There's no reason not to saute with it.
There's no reason not even to deep fry with it. Shall
absolutely.
I tell my deep fry
yes,
story?
Yes, tell your deep fry, yes.
Okay. When my book first came out, there was a big launch party, and Roberta had a lot to do with organizing this. And we invited a lot of media people, and we had a tasting of five olive oils. And then people made the facility where we were, the people made lunch using those same five oils. So we were sitting around deciding which recipes to use for lunch and what we were going to serve and so forth. And Roberta said, we have to make aioli because I really love aioli. So then, of course, the next question was, what are we going to do with the aioli, aioli being garlic mayonnaise? And we thought, French fries. Well, there isn't a recipe for French fries in the book, but I mean, okay, we're going to make French fries to go with the aioli. Then I said, if we're going to make French fries, we're going to deep fry them in extra virgin olive oil. And that's exactly what we did. And they were fabulous. And people think you cannot deep fry in extra virgin olive oil. But the thing is, you actually can because extra virgin olive oil. Thank you. Actually, I'll let Joe do that. What's extra virgin olive oil, Joe?
Well, extra virgin is what's proper? Is it you want to say quality grade? First of all, it doesn't tell you anything about whether you're going to like the oil or not. But what it does tell you is that it's been through a testing process, so it's been certified as to. All right, let me back up. When we make an oil, in order to certify it as extra virgin, it has to go through two testing processes. The first half is we send it off to a lab. They test it for free fatty acid, peroxide value. If you make enough of it, they test it. They put it through UV analysis to make sure you didn't mix it. You're not doing something weird like mixing some extra virgin with a seed oil or a nut oil. If it passes all of that, and the free fatty acid and the peroxide are tests of how wholesome the olives were when you milled your olives, when you made your olive oil, and also how well you handled those olives as you were milling them. So if it passes both of those, then it goes in front of a taste panel, and which Fran is a member of. And they test it and certify, A, that it has some positive fruit characteristic, and, B, that it is free of defects. So if it passes both part of those tests, and there's some requirements about you can't, you know, without getting too complicated, you can't heat up the paste when you're milling over a certain point. You know, it has to be mechanically extracted. You can't use any solvents or anything like that to extract your oil. But if it passes both parts of the test, then it can be certified as an extra virgin olive oil. And it's basically an assertion to you that the olive oil that came from those olives was as fresh as the people who made that oil could have possibly made it. And as you're probably tasting here, you're going to find some you like, some maybe you don't like. Hopefully you like them all, but there'll be varying degrees of like. So it's not a guarantee that you're going to love that oil, but it's a guarantee of the freshness in the bottle if you see the seal. Now, just because somebody slaps extra virgin olive oil on their label doesn't mean it's an extra virgin olive oil. And that's one of the major issues that we're trying to deal with as an industry is that there aren't standards involved or standards in place out there. We have gotten some standards in California now that we're trying to find ways to enforce, but there isn't a national standard as to what defines extra virgin olive oil. So when you see a lot of the olive oils that I won't name here, but you see them on the grocery store shelves and they say extra virgin olive oil, they're really not. And so when you see that seal, the California Olive Oil Council seal, that guarantees you that what is in the bottle is an extra virgin olive oil. So hopefully that answered the question. Yes? No, that seal is only for California olive oils and specifically members of the California Olive Oil Council. I don't want to say all foreign oils that come to the United States are bad because there are some really good olive oils that come in. really, without getting too complicated, if you're familiar with the DOP designations for wines, that's really the only way I would know how to judge European oils. Some of them have DOP designations, and that would be a good standard to look at for those. But when you see that seal, that's a California olive oil that's been certified extra virgin olive oil.
We're also fortunate tonight to have in the audience Linda Sikorsky, who's the head buyer for Market Hall Foods, who has been buying olive oil for over 25 years and working with consumers. And you can ask her. She'll be here. She's right over there. And you can talk to her. They have one of the largest selections of extra virgin olive oil from California as well as from Spain, Italy. And they are. The one thing that I would say that I always look for, does it have a harvest date on it, and is it the current harvest? I won't buy an olive oil that does not have that on it. And you, that is for the Europe, you know, the seal is my guide in, for California oils. But with the foreign oils, if it does not have a harvest date on it or a bottling date, but I prefer a harvest date, I won't even bother with it because there's, you know, there's no reason to. So I think our concern is the number of the bulk olive oils in the supermarket shelves that are really what's in the in them is rarely what it says it is. And the California Olive Oil Council is sponsoring a research project with UC Davis right now to test those oils. And this will take a couple of years. And Patty, who's also in the audience, that you, who I introduced earlier, can talk to you about that during the question and answer and during the book signing part. So, good questions.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Are we ready for another oil? Have your palates recovered?
Could you hand me an apple?
Yes. Do you need more water?
Yeah, thanks.
Water? Thank you. Drink a little water. Have another apple. Now, the next two oils we're going to taste, this is such fun because these are the oils that, you know, were just made. And this is a really exciting time of the year for this sort of thing because people are pressing oil, and generally speaking, as Joe described earlier, they... you know, they put it in big tanks and cover it with nitrogen and let it sit for a while so that even after it's centrifuged, there's still some tiny particles in the oil, and they want to get those out of the oil before they bottle it and send it out into the world, because eventually those little particles will deteriorate the oil. However, when the oleo nuovo is made, it's just sent straight from the press, so it's usually cloudy. It's also, it has just a very special flavor. It's very fresh. It tastes so much like olives. You know, it kind of reminds me of fruit. If you press fruit juice, the oleo nuevo is sort of like that, only it's olives. And generally speaking, you should not keep this oil long at all. 2-3 months max. Because it's going to deteriorate a lot faster. But it's just really fun. And in Italy, they celebrate at this time of the year. They make a special dish called, it's spaghetti with the new oil and with garlic, lots of garlic, and with red pepper flakes. And it's this sort of celebratory welcoming the new oil. And, of course, I have a recipe for this in my book. So... let's smell this oil. This oil again now. This is from Corto. The people who weren't here tonight, actually, it's terrible what's happened to these folks. Their mill broke down and it snowed last night. Very bad things for, you know, because the snow is not good for the olives. You don't want the olives to freeze on the tree. So, and their mill broke down in the meantime. So they're probably, as we speak, they're probably there trying to figure what to do.
You know, we have to be reminded that it is indeed an agriculture product, you know.
So, again, now this is the same oil as the first one we tasted. It's not the same oil, but it's an Arbequina oil. Only this oil was made probably a few weeks ago, I would guess. So smell this now. What do you think? You You might smell this. Go back to oil number one and see. Of course, by this time, this oil is a little cold. But you could compare the two. Can you see? Is there a difference between oil number one and oil number three? What's the difference? Okay, green tea. It's more delicate than the first one? Someone else says no. Sorry? Number three? To me, number one has more ripe fruit characters to it. It smells more buttery, more ripe banana-y than this oil does. And that's probably because these olives were probably not as ripe, and the fact that the first oil is a year old now. So let's taste it and see if it's bitter or pungent and see what other sorts of descriptors you can come up with. Oh, I hear a little coughing, yes.
The pungent.
That's the pungency. It catches you in your throat. The first oil, oil number one, doesn't have that pungency because it's older. Although this oil is not very bitter, do you think? I don't taste much. And that's very characteristic of arbequina oil. This oil, even though it has lots of complex flavors but not a whole lot of ripe fruit, and that's what you would expect, I think, from an oleo nuevo. But this would be, well, in addition to, you know, making the famous spaghetti dish, you could drizzle this on soups. You could do lots of things with this oil and make salad dressings with maybe more robust greens. And certainly you could cook with it as well.
And if you ingrain these smells that you're getting from the arbequina, you'll be able to amaze your friends, because a lot of the oils that you're going to see in California are going to have arbequina in there. And these are very typical flavor smells that you'll get from arbequina oils, and the flavor profile as well is very typical. It's a great oil. Arbequina makes a great oil, but typically on the milder side in general.
It's the oil we fried in.
This is the oil, yes. This is the oil that we made the French fries in.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because in this country, I think, unless you come from an ethnic background where people used lots of olive oil, most Americans really prefer very bland oil. And it has to do with all the seed oils that are here and the refined oils that really have no taste at all. And so if people are wary of olive oil and they think it tastes too strong or, they're sort of afraid of it, oils like this are a good way to start because they're not as bitter and pungent as some of the other oils. And it's a sort of a good introductory oil. And I probably, that may have even been, although that I was going to say it could be why they developed the high density out of these olives, but probably that's not true. Actually, I think that it had to do with lots of other reasons.
That they worked.
I think it had to do with because they worked.
Make them into semi-dwarf varieties the three that Fran mentioned really lend themselves to that, and the hedge growing. So,
yeah. I taste the real banana flavor.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yes. They're very banana. Yes, you're right. I agree with you.
You get a lot of that from arbequina.
It's a very arbequina style. Yeah.
Green tomatoes sometimes. Very normally a lot of green flavors because when they harvest arbequina, they harvest it on the green side.
Pretty green, yes.
They know if you let arbequina. Well, first of all, it's very difficult to let arbequina get really ripe. But if you do let it get really ripe, it's already of softer oil to begin with, so it'll be even softer if you let it ripen up. So they tend to harvest it on the green side.
And so the next oil is a Bozzano Oleo Nuovo, and it's not actually what's on this printed sheet tonight. The olives in this oil are a little different. It's a Marino olive and a Licino olive, and these are Tuscan olives, typically grown in Tuscany. However, the bottles that you're taking home with you are Frantoio and Lucino. But this is a little different. This is a special blend made for the pasta shop, available in bulk there. And it's quite convenient and economical to buy olive oil in bulk. There are a couple of stores that do this, not too many. But the pasta shop always has bulk olive oil. And so you go, you can take your own bottle and fill it up and, you know, they weigh it and you take it home. Or maybe it's by the ounce. By the ounce, I believe.
This is a very special oil for me. We put the mill in 2007 and did our first planting spring of that year. Had the mill in October of that year. And these are the very first olives that we've ever harvested off of anything that we grow ourselves. So I'm very excited with how this has turned out and glad to be finally picking some of my own olives, finally.
So warm it up a bit. And smell it. What you smell? Is it different from the other? It's a lot different, don't you think? Just shout out some of the things that you can smell. Uh-oh, people are getting palate fatigue, I think. Hay, yes. It's also, to me, a little artichoke and kind of herbaceous. It's got a lot going on.
I hear some coughs.
Coughs?
Yeah. A little bit of pungency.
Yeah.
Are you anybody getting any spiciness at all from it?
Yeah.
Okay, once again, it does have Lucino in it, which we were talking about before, as the cinnamony, can't even say that, cinnamony quality.
Cinnamon.
So.
Oh, yeah. And it's definitely a little pungent. A two cough oil, perhaps. Oil like this is fabulous, drizzled on really hearty soups, you know, like a kale soup or any kind of a winter sort of a soup. You could use the oil to cook the vegetables, and then right before you serve it, you drizzle a little of this on the top, and it's just really fabulous. Again, this oil is not going to keep very long, so use it up in 2 or 3 months.
And
max.
One oil you shouldn't fry with is a Nuovo because of the sediment that's left in it.
That's
true. It'll burn in the fryer. So I'm a big proponent of frying with extra virgin olive oil, just not with a Nuovo because there's still some sediment left in it and it'll burn. Yes. As far as the mouth feel,
yeah.
A little bit more viscous in the mouth.
Yeah.
Well, that's. Sure, maybe a little more full body in the mouth. I didn't really pick that up. I don't know.
I didn't either. Although it might be just because you know there are still tiny particles in this oil that the other oils don't have. The oils that are not oleo nuevos, and maybe that has to do with it.
Did you find it greasy or did you find it just a little heavier? Right,
spicy going down. That's the pungency. That's the pungency.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's definitely the pungency. Yes. Well, okay, not always. I mean, it's possible to find some sediment that is not in a Nuovo. Basically, there's two ways to clarify your oil. You can either run it through a filtration process, which some people do. I'm not a big fan of doing that. I think it strips out some of the flavor you want as well as taking out the things you don't want. So what a lot of us do is use, you know, a racking style system. We'll let it sit in the barrel, let the sediment fall out of it, and then rack it off. It's not always going to get every last particle of sediment out of it. So it is possible to buy something that isn't a Nuovo, and, you know, towards the end of the year you might see a small layer of dust on the bottom of it that dropped out of it. But typically they tend to be a little... definitely should be cleaner than a Nuovo. If you look at a bottle of Nuovo 2-3 months after it's bottled, it'll have a fairly significant layer of sediment on the bottom.
But if you see a bottle of oil on a store shelf that has a harvest date from last year and it has a half inch of sediment in it, I wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, if it's, yeah. Go ahead. No, Nuovo is meant to be bottled and sold and out the door. We don't do a large run of it. So what we did a small amount of that, and the rest of the oils that we have, I have some other oil that we picked from that field. We're going to let settle out, clarify, and then we'll put it into our into our blends.
So yeah, the producers typically just bottle and sell as much as this that they figure the people will use quickly. Certainly not the whole harvest.
And hopefully if we can get it right and people get excited about it, it'll become the tradition that it is in Europe.
Yeah.
Because it really is quite a big deal for them over there. So any other questions about anything?
Nuovo
just means new in Italian. So it's new oil. Specifically, and it literally is out of the press into the bottle. This once again, mine is being sold in bulk at the pasta shop, and I'm positive that they'll have a label on it saying Olio Nuovo. If you see a bottle, you could see terms like Olio Nuovo, Olio Novello, what would it be? There's a few others.
Nuevo, which I think is a Spanish.
They all connote the same thing. They're all talking about new oils.
And they're often in a special bottling, and the fifth oil that we'll have, we'll go over there to taste that, is called a December oil, and it's a special bottling from Katz and Company. I think, Joe, could you clarify a little bit more? Because I know this took me a couple of years to figure out. You have the Olio Nuovo, and it's pressed immediately. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other oils. Now, the Olio Nuovo, you don't blend. That's a – could you talk about
– Well, typically, Olio Nuovo is just – I mean, you're not blending your oil. It's counterproductive, basically, because in order to take two oils and blend them together, they're gonna have to take time to sit because you have to run one oil first and one. So basically, what we do for this particular oil, whatever we picked that day, we just ran it, which turned out to be Marino and Licino were the two varieties we picked that day, and all the oil we got from it, we just went straight into the bottle with it. And typically, Olio Nuovos, that's what you do. It's the first oil you get. Maybe the very first day you harvest, and you just run it and do a small amount of it and put it straight into the bottle without any settling, without any time in between. That's why they end up being field runs versus blends, because it just doesn't lend itself to doing blends.
So with the when will your other oils, the ones that have settled, is that the right word?
Correct.
Settled, that you're milling now, when will those be on the market, and what do we call those?
The target for our new oils will be the middle of January. We're typically, most of our stuff is run in middle of November, early December, and then we hope to let it settle for at least a month and a half, to get that, to really let it the sediment settle out, and then we'll start bottling them up, hopefully by the middle of January. Really how cold it is, although, it helps us because we have a temperature-controlled room, so it'll settle out a little quicker. In this cold weather, things will slow down. Oil becomes, the colder an oil gets, the more viscous it becomes and the harder it is for the sediment to fall out. But January 15th, thereabouts, might not be that exact day, but that's the target for our new oils. And we'll have the Toscana again, We have a blend called Generations that we do that's based off of Arbequina. And then we have our A-squared blend, which is an Oscolano Arbequina blend. And then depending on how things go this year, I have to see where we end up with some, with production-wise. I may have another little blend that I might toy with on a very small run this year. But we're going to harvest some Tajasca olives for the first time this year, so we might do something with those.
So
They'll have a 2010 seal sticker on it. Our bottles are silk screened, and I'm in the process of trying to figure out how we're going to incorporate a harvest date. I'm going to have to get the plates redone for the bottles, basically. But the sticker, the COOC sticker that it's on there, will say 2010 on it. So we tend to use the year that the oils go on the market, not the year that they were harvested and milled. So
would it be fair for the consumer come February, because there shouldn't be any Oleo Nuovo on the shelves at that point, right?
Hopefully not.
You're at your corner grocery store.
Oleo Nuovo that's been on the shelf for over a year.
Yeah. So you want to watch for that. But could you just say, I'm looking for current harvest? Or the last harvest olive oil?
Absolutely. If you're going to a really good retailer, as the pasta shop and some of the other stores in the area, yeah, ask them for current harvest and don't accept anything else. You really don't want to buy come January or end of January. You really don't want to buy last year's oil anymore. If you can help it, or if you do get a bottle of last year's oil, just realize you want to use it as quickly as humanly possible, and that's the same with every oil you get. We'll make more of them. Just go ahead and use them. and get through them.
There's a question over there.
Sure. Well, it really doesn't look like much except for a big metal, kind of round metal, basically housing, and inside the housing is a cage that spins around with holes in it, and you can vary the size of the holes. You can put in different cages, and then in the middle are blades that spin around. So in our particular instance, we have an auger that feeds the olives straight into the blades. The blades crush up the olives and force them out the grid, so at that point it becomes a paste, and then from the mill, typically it goes directly into the malaxers, which is the next step of the process in making olive oil. So, malaxers. Okay, so there's three steps to, real quickly, because there's three steps to making olive oil. Well, four, technically. We receive the olives in bins. They go through basically a couple of machines that just kind of clean up the pick. One takes out the leaves, the other one washes the olives. From there, they go into the mill, the hammer mill itself, crushes them up, turns them into a paste or pumice, as we call it. The pumice goes into a malaxer, which is basically a big tank. They're either horizontal or vertical. In our case, they're vertical. And it basically acts similar to a butter churner. It's like just a slow churning of the paste. There's also temperature jackets on the malaxer, so we put some gentle temperature to it. And what happens is when you cut an olive, the oil is in the cell walls of the olive. So at that moment, they're very tiny microscopic droplets. In the malaxation period, which can be anywhere from 25 minutes to an hour, depending on the variety and the temperature outside, those droplets coalesce together, and they start to extract from the cell walls, pull away from the solids and the water, which are the other two components of the olives. And if things are going really well, what you'll see is a pool of oil starting to swim on top of the malaxers. When you see that, you know it's ready to be sent off to the next part, which is the centrifuge. Now, if you just chopped your olives up and sent them straight to the centrifuge, you'd lose the vast majority of your oil. So malaxation is the bottleneck of the process, but it's also the biggest key to the process, because if you don't do that, not only will you lose your oil, but you won't have flavor extraction, because that's where the flavor compounds are extracted from the vegetable water and the solids into the into the oil itself. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Question?
Okay, in an olive, you're in the low end, 12% of the olive is oil.
This is why it's expensive.
On the high end, it's 18%. The average I use for my calculations is 35 gallons per ton of olives. So you don't get a whole lot of extra virgin olive oil out of olives. And the vast majority of what comes in goes out as a byproduct. So anywhere from 82 to 88% of what comes in goes out the back door. Right now, our stuff goes to cattle feed. So goes to cattle farmers who feed it to their cows. Hopefully, someday there will be a beneficial product that we can make from that, hopefully, because if I do 500 tons of olives in a year, over 400 of it is a product that goes out the back door. So, but yeah, that's basically, I use, when I'm calculating, people will say 40 gallons to the ton, but what I've seen recently, I use 35 gallons to the ton. It can be as low as 20, 25 gallons to the ton. And that's when olive oil gets really expensive. It's very, just to give you an example, because I hand harvest. Well, we use pneumatic combs and have the nets, and it's very labor-intensive process. It cost me maybe somewhere on the order of $400 a ton to harvest. The super high-density method cost them maybe $60 a ton. So it's $340 a ton, 35 gallons, somewhere around 10 bucks a gallon difference between what they do and what I do. So, yeah, there's the rub.
Really? Okay. I wanted to say just a few things about flavored oils.
Oh, yeah.
Since that's what I use to make the truffles that you're going to taste. Flavored oils used to be sort of poo-pooed by olive oil aficionados. And, in fact, they cannot be called extra virgin because there's something in them other than olives. They also, I think, were looked on with a jaundiced eye because some people had the notion that if you had an oil that wasn't quite right, something happened in the processing, or if the oil was a little bit rancid. If you've mixed in something else, it might cover that up. Well, it really doesn't, actually. And people are putting all sorts of things in oil these days. Some of them I'm not so crazy about, but I think some of the best ones are the ones made with citrus. And there are two different ways to do this. Either you crush the fruit with the olives, this is the preferred method, or you have the oil and then you infuse the fruit and then strain it out. But if you indeed crush the fruit with the olives, you can get some really nice oil that's very useful in the kitchen. And to me, the citrus ones are the best. Some of the herbs, some basil oil, I think, was also pretty nice. But at any rate, the truffles are made with an oil that was crushed with blood oranges. And you'll be amazed how you can actually taste the oranges just from the olive oil.
So on that note, if you have any other questions or you want to talk to Joe or Fran will be signing books. Joe will be here. I pointed out that Patty from the California Olive Oil Council is here, as is Linda Sikorsky from the pasta shop. And she has those blood orange olive oil chocolate truffles for each of you. Also, if you want to taste that other Olio Nuovo from Katz & Company, I'll be over there, and you can taste yet another olive oil.
I'm sorry, just briefly. I just want to mention the oils that you have in your goodie bag from our ranch, treat them as Nuovos. There's Lechino and Frantoio. They have not been through the filtering process, so they are, treat them as Nuovo.
And let's see. I wanted to thank you all for being here. This was wonderful.
Yes, and let's thank the panel.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
Happy holiday, everyone.